It says in verse 20, and he arose, prodigal son, he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That little phrase at the end here talked about the father coming to his son coming home, and he kissed him. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. And we want to speak in that tonight. So let's pray for God's help around the word of God. Father in heaven, I pray you'd be with us. We need you. We need your help here tonight, Lord. We love singing the old-fashioned gospel hymns, Lord. We love singing about Christ and the blood. And Lord, we pray tonight as we turn to your word, you bless it to our hearts, how the gospel of Christ warms even the hearts of God's people. Because, Lord, we can recall what happened, and we can remember how we came home, how we came to thee through Christ, and how thou forgive us, Lord. We can remember these things with joy. And I pray now you'll be with us around the word of God. If there's any unconverted in the meeting, pray you'll speak to them, and that they might be saved. We ask now for your help and everything we said and done for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I came across a story, and it's about an Englishman who had an only son. Now, only sons are often petted and ruined. But this son became very headstrong. And very often, his father and him had arguments, and he ran into trouble with his father. One day they had a severe quarrel. His father looked at him and he says to him, I wish you would leave home, and I wish you would get out of this house, and that you would never come back. And the young lad took this to heart. He says to Mom, I'm leaving home. And he says, I will never be back. I'll never come into this house again until my father will send for me. And so the father had given up his son. But we do know, of course, a mother's love is totally different. A mother loved her son despite all his failings and all his faults. And there's nothing really in the wide world that can separate the mother's love from her child. We always seem to stand, and all of us, even father, we always seem to stand with our children. And she wrote to her son and pleaded with him to come home. Just come home and say to your father that you're sorry. And he says, I'm not coming home until I'll not be coming home until he sends for me. And so you can see the great conflict. The son was far away, the father at home. The mother tried everything she could to get reconciliation between them. Well, the son had said, I'll never go home. And my father asked me. Headstrong man, two of them. But time always moves on. And at home, time moved on. And the mother came down to her sick bed, broken hearted. The physicians gathered around the mother, and she was given up to die. There was no hope. And the husband gathered around his wife that he loved. He says, Is there anything you'd love me to do for you? Well, you can know what the answer's going to be now. She says, I want you to send for my boy. I want you to write to him and tell him to come home. And he says, well, I will write a letter and I will say to him that you want to see him. She says, listen, he will not come. He has said he's coming home when you send for him. He says, please, would you not write to him? Would you not write and tell him, if I ever want to see him again before I die, you need to write to him. Well, the father went into the office, his home, and he wrote a letter in his name, in the father's name. Would you come home? Well, imagine a wee fella at home. We were at home a long time. He opened up the letter, came home. What a surprise he got, because here was a letter from his father. Tell him about his dying mother, and his father asked him to come home. Now, it was recorded that in the home, the door opened, and the father was standing beside the bed. And the young fella came home, and the father heard him coming into the house. The father, instead of running to him, he moved away out of the way. And the son never spoke to him, and he never spoke to the father. And there the son went over and got a hold of his mother's hand, and how she pleaded and how she loved him and how she was glad to see him. And she pleaded with her son. She said, listen, would you not just speak to your father? Would you not do it? And he said, no, he has to. He has to break all of this. He has to speak to me first of all. And there it was in this home, this great division. And now the two of them stood at the bed. Wouldn't speak to one another. And one held one hand of the mother, and one held the other hand of the mother. And the mother was soon to die. And what the mother did, she took the one hand of the son and the hand of the father, and she put them together. And as they held hands, it's recorded, the father looked at his son, his heart was broken. And he opened his arms and he took his son into his bosom. But notice when he first came home, this illustration I'm giving here tonight, when the son first came into the house and first came home, he got a cold reception. He got a cold reception. His father never ran to him. His father never held him. His father never welcomed him at all. He got a cold reception. But how different? How different is our parable? How different is the love? How different is the heart here of the father of the prodigal son? He went astray. The son went astray. And he came home. He came home to his father. And it tells us his father ran and he fell on his neck. And notice it tells us here that he kissed him. Lord, he kissed him. What a difference in the reception. And he kissed him. The son that went astray, he kissed him. That brings us tonight about the great love of God to all our hearts tonight. And I want to say a few things tonight about this kiss. Because first of all, I want to say, we could put a surprising kiss. Now, one commentator said, I think it was actually Spurgeon said, if I had said this, now notice, that he ran and kicked him. Man, you said that's what he deserved. That young fella was cheeky. Man, he was a cheeky boy, wasn't he? A father, a lovely home, brought up in a good home and taught the word of God and all that he said and all what he'd done against the father. And if the father ran out and had kicked him, he would have deserved it. He would have deserved it. Well, that's not what it says. He kissed him. He kissed him. He fell on his neck here, that tells us, and he kissed him. After all the son had done against his father and his family, he kissed him. Think about his words, his rebellious words. He came one day with a heart full of rebellion against his father, and he says in verse 12, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me. I want my share of inheritance. I want out of this place. These words were sinful. Not honoring your father and mother. These words were selfish. He was only thinking about himself. And with a heavy heart, his dear father, with his hard work and earned money, he reached forth and he gave it to him against his wishes. The son's wishes. But despite of this, he kissed him. What his son has said. Think about his walk in verse 13. This young fellow went into the far country. It doesn't just say that he went down to a village down the road or the next town. No, it tells us here something about this young fellow here in his walk. He went to the far country. He wanted to get as far away from mom and dad as far away as possible. He had had enough. He had enough of life at home. Oh, maybe there was too many rules. Too many prayers. Maybe there's too many services to go to. Too many Bible readings. I want out of this. I want out of this place. And you know, he left it all. Proverbs 19 verse 13 says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. Well, these words certainly summed him up. But you know, when he returned, despite that he had been away in the far country, his father kissed him. He kissed him. His father knew where he had been. He knew where he had been. And yet he kissed him. Think about his wickedness. Verse 13 talking about rat as living. The margin means reckless and loose. You know, I want to say this. This young fella completely broke out in the far country. There's no restraint on him. He forgot the teachings of the Word of God. He didn't worry about the commandments of God at all. He forgot all about the rules and the instructions of a father who loved them and as a mother who loved them. He didn't care about any of this. He just lifted the whole lot and he cast it all to the one side. And he said, I can do whatever I want. That's what he thought. And that's what he did do, of course. Drunkenness, blasphemy, immorality, verse 30 says, with harlots. He lived a very sinful, wicked life in the far country. Every sin he was running after, he was committing all of these terrible, terrible sins. And yet, I want you to see this tonight. When he returned home to the Father, he kissed him. He knew what he had been at. And yet he kissed him. I'm saying this is surprising. Kissed him. Think about his wickedness as well. Think about his waste, because in verse 13 he had wasted all. The word waste means squandered. In Matthew 14, verse 27, it says, and the sheep shall be scattered. That word scattered. He wasted. I want you to see what he wasted his talents. No doubt he, this young fella, had different talents in the home and his life. He wasted his time. He wasted his treasures. Everything the Father had given to him, he wasted. He wasted everything. Saul said in 1 Samuel 26 and verse 1, here's what Saul, he said, I've played the fool and I've erred exceedingly. That's what he said. This young fellow down in the far country who'd left home, who rebelled against his father, he had to say, I've played the fool. He wasted everything. Everything his father had given him, everything he had. His want, he says, began to be in want. No food, no money, no friends. He wasted his substance. He lived a wicked life. A sinful life, a terrible life, a rebellious life. And yet, I want you to see tonight, when he came home, his father fell upon his neck and he kissed him. To many, that may be a surprising kiss. But you know what that teaches us tonight? There's a wonderful reception for the sinner when they come to the Father through Christ. There is a great reception. And many sinners today, you know what they're doing? They're wasting. They're living a wasted life. They're wasting their talents. Their people has great talents. I remember a man that I knew, and they told me about him, that he was one of the greatest mechanics around the community. A great mechanic. And yet, if you'd have seen that man walking about sometimes, you'd have thought he was a trump. Because he went to the booze. Forgot about his talents. Forgot about his work. Forgot about his ability. He wanted sin. He wanted the world. He wanted drink. An alcoholic. Wasted. Waste their time as well. How many hours are spent in a public house? Now, some of us here tonight can recall in our own saved days, spending hours, most of a day in a bar. Even all night, perhaps, half a night in bars drinking. But it wasted time. People waste their time. They waste their treasures. They're throwing money down the drain. They're running after the world. And they're running after sin. Terrible thing. And there's one thing I hate. And I hate booze. And I hate smoking. And I hate drugs. And I thank the Lord that I was never caught up in gambling. Some people have been caught up in gambling. I drive through Newry, go home from meetings. And there's just on the right hand side there around Sugar Island, a big thing up, casino. My heart just nearly skips a beat. Every time I go past it, I look at it and I think of people in there. I think about the waste. I've no doubt there's even women in there around the machines and gambling, throwing all their money down the tubes, as you and I would say tonight. And they're sinners today and they're wasting their talents, their times and their treasures, and they're living for the world. And we sang tonight in this particular hymn, I've wasted many precious years. And is there anyone here tonight in this meeting and you're wasting your life and you're living for the world and you're living for sin? Just like this young man here in this parable the Lord Jesus is speaking about. You're in the far country tonight. There's a great welcome for you when you come home. There's a great welcome. through Jesus Christ. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I know the Bible says tonight in Romans 6 verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And the sinner outside of Christ, and the sinner who dies without Christ, will lose her soul and find themselves tonight, and we have to be honest to the word of God, they'll find themselves in hell. But here's a wonderful truth tonight, that dirty, filthy sinner who comes to God with their filth upon them. If he comes to God tonight, I want you to see God to put his arms around him and kiss them. He'll receive them. How do you know? She said, that's how I came. That's how I came to Christ. The one I came to, who pointed me to Christ, told me that they could smell the drink off me from the night before. I want to tell you of a loving, a great Savior that receives us. You're away tonight in the far country, and you're in your sin tonight. Remember, says he in Luke 15, verse 2, this man, listen, he receiveth sinners. And there's a great reception waiting for those, despite their sin, despite their shame, despite their rebellion tonight. There's a great reception, and God will lay hold upon you tonight and kiss you. And that's surprising to all of us. But you can read the Bible. The Bible's full of people who came. Manasseh, wicked. Saul, put God's people to death, came, received. Demonic man with legion, possessed with many devils. The dying faith who'd lived for years. He'd lived for years without Jesus Christ. He had one foot in the grave, as you and I would say. He was about to fall down into hell. And yet he came and Father embraced him. Oh, here's a surprising kiss. Jesse Ryan said, God is far more willing to save sinners than sinners are to be saved. We know that is true. We know that is true tonight. But the Father here came to the Son and he kissed him. He kissed him. A surprising kiss, perhaps, but it's true. And that's a surprising thing that God would forgive you and I, isn't it? A surprising thing that he would love the likes of you and I. But he does. He does. There's a reception, a warm reception for you tonight. If you repent from your sin, on see a person to meet and come to Christ, there's a warm reception. It's not only a surprising kiss, it's a sincere kiss. There are kisses today, you know, among people that's full of hypocrisy and deceit. Well, we think of deceitful kisses. Where would you go? Well, go to Judas. Judas, in Matthew 26, and verse 48, he gave a word to the enemies of Jesus Christ. He says, whom, in verse 48, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. He's given here the sign. He says, I've been going into this garden. I tell you this, you watch me. You watch who I go. I will go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will kiss him. And then you know who to arrest. Well, we read then, verse 49, and forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, Hail, Master. And listen what it says here. And he kissed him. He kissed the cheek of the Son of God, but it was a deceitful kiss. He didn't mean anything at all about this kiss. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Deceitful. Hypocrisy. Didn't mean it. Some used to say people giving you an embrace and a pat you on the back, they're looking for a soft place. You heard that one before. And a pitch where to put the knife in. It's not right. There's those sort of things goes on at times. There's nothing deceitful here about the Father. His heart is full of love. He's glad to see him. He's glad to see the Son that he loved. He's been in the far country. I don't know how long he's been in the far country. He's glad to see him. Kissed him. There's love 100% flowing from this kiss of the Father. Sincere. You can see this even by other events leading up to the kiss. You see his saying in verse 20. It says that he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now, was the father looking every day for him? That's a silly question, isn't it? Of course he was. If you're in the same position, you'd be looking every day, wouldn't you? Looking up the road, watching. Oh, he could, the father could remember the day he went out. He could see him over the hill, and he's watching, he's looking for the son he loved. He's watching for him. And it tells us here that he saw him, and he saw where he had come from. He saw the filth. He saw the rags. He saw the penitent look. He saw where he had been. He saw what he was, and he saw that what he would be. But listen here, he saw him. He saw him. He knew who it was. You see his sincerity in his seeing. He's watching for him. You see his sincerity in his running. But here, he ran. He ran. I have no doubt. The prodigal, he was not running home. He was probably walking slowly. And as he was getting closer to the house, perhaps he's sort of hesitating, perhaps in his heart. I wonder how I'm going to be received. He's not running, but when the father saw him, here's what the Bible says, that he ran. He ran towards him. He couldn't wait to hold him. He couldn't wait to embrace him. He couldn't wait to kiss him. He couldn't wait to see him. He ran towards him. And then you see his falling upon him, verse 20. He fell upon his neck, and then his kissing. And he kissed him. And the kiss is in the verb, the present tense. Not just one kiss. He kept on kissing him. He couldn't stop. He couldn't stop kissing him. He loved him. He's glad to see him home. In spite of the smell, well, you can smell where he'd been with the pigs. You know yourself, if somebody's been with the pigs, you can certainly smell it. I'm not saying that against any pig farmers in the meeting here tonight, but when you don't work with them and people works in them, you can smell that, of course. In spite of the filth, in spite of the hurt, in spite of the pain, in spite of the loss, he kissed him. He kissed him, and he's kissing him often. You see, he really, really loves him. He's holding on to him in his arms. My son is home. He's home. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. The sincere kiss of the father here. Oh, what a picture we have here of the wonderful love of God. Do you not marvel at the love of God to all our hearts? The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God is love. You think of that. Think about that great text in the Bible in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you not marvel tonight, if you're unconverted in this meeting, can you not marvel tonight at the wonderful love of God to us? That God loves us. And he proved that love by sending his son into the world to die upon the cross. And Christ died for us upon the cross. The Bible said that greater love, remember Christ, greater love is no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. What love the Lord Jesus showed. And I know tonight. I know tonight that the Lord loves us. He loves us. And he loves us greatly. And sent his son to die for our sins. And this happened. And the love of God is sincere. There's a hypocritical love tonight in the world. We know that. We know all about this tonight. Deceitful love tonight in the world. We know about this tonight. But there's no love like the love of Jesus Christ. And you probably heard me give my testimony, and I said there's an illustration of it. The night before I got saved, I was sitting in the bar in Market Hill. And my fiancée, Joan, and I had just got engaged just a few weeks before around Christmas time. And we were sitting the night before I got saved, and I was under real conviction of sin. The pub was packed. I was drinking away as usual. And there's a man walked up behind me whom I had known from I was a wee fella. And he walked up behind me in the middle of the bar, and he stopped behind me. Here's what he said. Noel. And I turned around. You know what he said? There's nobody loves me. And I knew the man. He'd lost his wife, his family. Everything because of drink. He says, there's nobody loves me. And I want to tell you tonight, I want to get off the bar stool and start to preach. Because the Lord has really worked on my heart. Because I felt to see him, and I had heard the wonderful story that Jesus loved me. And I want to get off the stool and say, hold on a minute, I want to tell you about the great love of Jesus Christ. There is one that loves us. Of course, I didn't do it. But I've told him since that, by the way. If I got saved the next morning, and I told him since that. Oh, the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. He died for sinners to save the likes of you and I, to bring us back to God. This is the wonderful, wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you see. Remember, says a rich young ruler who came to Christ and asked a question of a good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he heard the conditions. He wouldn't come, and he turned away from Jesus Christ. And in Mark 10, verse 21, it says, then Jesus behold them. He loved them. He loved them. And I say tonight to anyone who's unsaved, here is a great love, a sincere kiss tonight. Oh, for the love of God to touch your heart tonight, and for the love of God to change your heart tonight, and for you to come to Christ. The Father's holding them because he loves them. And I want you to see that tonight. Maybe you feel down in the dumps. There are many people tonight, I have no doubt about it. I was one of them myself, and I know. They're down in the dumps tonight. They're in the world tonight. They're in sin tonight. And they're down in the... They're far away from God. If one, they're far away from God. They're away tonight. They're in the far country. They don't know about the love of Christ. And I want God to touch your heart tonight and see there's a great welcome. A loving welcome. The Father will embrace you tonight and kiss you. He loved you. He loves you. I want to say just something lastly and very quickly. It was a settling kiss. A settling kiss. A settle the argument. Now sometimes we say that's by kiss and make up. Not right. A kiss and make up. It settles the argument. Well, this is what was happening here. There had been an argument. So we're not denying the very fact. Even then he rebelled against the Father. And he had many sins to confess. He wasted his substance in many... He wasted his substance with rat as living. And then he said himself in verse 18, I'm going to go. I'm just going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against thee. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to confess. And when he came to his father, he said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy be called thy son. And this young fellow, there was a disagreement. There was a rant between them. We're not denying that. When he got kissed, they were reconciled. The kiss brought reconciliation to them. He's now home and he's reconciled. He's forgiven. And when the sinner comes to Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, the argument's over. The sinner fights against God. He fights against Christ. He resists the Spirit of the living God. He doesn't want to come to Christ. He doesn't want to leave his friends. He doesn't want to leave his sin. And yet when he comes, when he repents by the grace of God and comes down to the feet of Jesus Christ, then when God embraces him, he's reconciled. The argument's over. Remember Colossians 1 verse 21 says, and you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, notice, yet now hath he what? Reconciled. We were alienated. We were far away from God by our wicked works and by our life. And yet when we came to Jesus Christ and we put our faith and trust in him, he has reconciled us. And the argument's over. And the battle's over. We're not fighting against God anymore. You see, he kissed him. And the argument was over. And when a sinner comes to Jesus Christ, remember Isaiah 44:22, he said, I've blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. All sin is blotted out in the blood of Jesus Christ. When you come home, when you trust Christ, and when I come home, and child of God in this meeting, the night you came to Jesus Christ, then the argument's over. We're reconciled to God. What a happy day. What a happy, happy day that was in the hearts of all of us. It settled the argument. It settled his anguish. Because look at his anguish in his far country. His plight. He had no home. His poverty. He spent all. His pigs. His perish. And he was so far down in the gutter. He says, I perish. That's what he said. These were his words. He understood what was going to happen to them. He says here that I perish. But this kiss settled all of this anguish. You see, he's now home. He's now in the Father's arms. and it's all over. I know what peace comes when you come to Jesus Christ. In Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What wonderful peace there is when you come to Christ. The anguish is over. I don't know, but before I got converted, I was troubled. We sing that hymn sometimes, Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. There are people tonight troubled. There are people tonight tossed up and down like a wave on the sea. There's no rest, says God, to the wicked. There's no peace. They're full of anxiety. They're full of pain tonight. Oh, they're in the world. They're in sin tonight. Well, I want to say to anyone who's unconverted, if you come to Jesus Christ and God has hold upon you tonight, the anguish is over on that aspect. The fear of death, the fear of losing your soul, the fear of going to hell, it's over. It's all over. What a Savior we have tonight. If you come to Jesus Christ and trust Him, we think of that great hymn, Peace like a river is flooding my soul, since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. And you glad, child of God tonight, and you glad the day you came to Jesus Christ. He kissed you. And the anguish was over. Oh, happy, happy day. That way our heart was full of joy the day we came to Jesus Christ. I would just love that joy to always be there, wouldn't we? That first joy, that first love we had for Jesus Christ. It settled in his absence as well, because in the far country, we see here he wanted to go home as a servant, but the father was having none of it. None of it. He's going to tell his father, make me as one of his hired servants. But you can see in verse 21, verse 22, he never got to that bit. He told his father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. And the father stopped. He stopped the whole thing, because here's why. The kiss settled it all. And it settled his absence from the home. He's brought home again. Killed the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, put the best robe on him. We're going to have a party, for this is my son was dead. He's alive again. He's lost. And he's found. Here's what it says in verse 24. And they began to be merry. The father's rejoicing. The household's rejoicing. Apart from himself, his brother, of course. But everybody's merry in this home. And I want you to see tonight. The son ain't leaving home again. Maybe friends could follow them from the far country and say, listen, hey, we're missing you. We're missing you. Come back with us. He would have told them to go and get lost. You see, his father had kissed him. And now he's home. I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. Are you there tonight to unsaved person in this meeting? That you'll come home. You'll come to Jesus Christ with all your filth, with all your sin. Leave it, leave it. Leave your sinful companions tonight. Leave the world tonight and come to Jesus Christ. And He'll kiss you. And He'll settle your absence from the Father's family at home. He'll give you everlasting life and at last bring you home to heaven. He kissed him. There's a welcome tonight for you. Don't think you're too bad. Don't remember as I said in Luke 15, verse 2, what does it say? What does it say of Jesus Christ? This man receiveth sinners. And did not of it. Just come the way you are. Just come with it. But come with your fears tonight. Come with your filth. Come down to the feet of Jesus Christ, and He'll save you. And He'll wash you in His blood, and He'll give you everlasting life. Oh, the Father ran. We have it here. We have it in this picture form in the parable. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. He ain't letting him go. And the son doesn't want to go. It settled all of these things. The absence, the argument, the anguish. He's home. Are you home? If you come to Christ, if you repent of your sin, and if not, why not come tonight? And if I can help you, speak to me or speak to some of the elders in the congregation. Lord, I'm coming home. Have you got to that place? I'm fed up with the world. I'm going to lose my soul. I'm going to go to hell. Lord, I'm coming home. There's a welcome. He's waiting. There's Savior and Savior. His blood will cleanse you. Lord, I'm coming home. Let's pray.